They go, why don't you want to cry? He goes, I don't want to cry because it makes me feel better and I don't deserve to feel better. And I was just like, oh, fuck me. Holy shit. Oh,
diaper butt. Meg, switch it over to the Japanese feed.
Jerk practice, jerk practice. Sketch boys love to reminisce. Yeah.
Where'd my window go?
Your computer window?
Too many windows.
I remember when I was too old to realize why they called it Windows.
No, you like the logo has slowly become more abstract. So you're like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Windows. I get it now.
Smart guy. You think he's the one who named
smart
it?
Smart guys.
Or do you have a hot shot marketer?
Oh, hey, Bill. I wish someone came into that meeting hot. You got to imagine it's at the urinal. It's the only time to get Bill. He doesn't stop unless he's taking a leak, and that's the best time to steal his wallet and or pitch him ideas.
Get him on Windows.
So I got an idea. It's called Windows. Sold.
That's what they are. It's really...
Because you have them on your computer, and if you turn your shoulder, there's one in the room where you're at.
Not his room. He just had a dank, windowless... box, you know, with the
which is why it was a hard sell for him, because he hates windows.
Yeah, exactly. He was gonna call it bricks or cinders.
Holes.
Cinders.
I call it holes. Cinders.
Oh, nothing.
Cinder blocks,
a good cinder
with an
block
X
wall.
But you could do the font too, because it has the holes. So you could do the red and the green, and then there's only two holes, so you get two colors. Pick your poison.
When did cinder blocks are synonymous with government housing, right? Not government.
Abandoned lots.
Yeah. I walked by an abandoned lot yesterday and I was so wistful because I was like, somebody owns that lot and they haven't built on that lot in 2 years, but they don't need to build on it. All they need to do is build a big fence, put an under construction sign, and get a tent back there. That's New York City living.
Squatters fucking dream. Squatter dreaming.
Squatter dreaming.
It's like the cartoon hobos following the pie.
Right.
You're following the smell of it. Ooh, it's a lot. It's unsquat.
It's unsquatted lot. Shut this, my dog. Fighting over their bagel.
Oh, so New York.
Yeah. My dogs only eat bagels with vegan cream cheese that tastes like plaster.
Use it on the cinder blocks for that hobo fortress.
Mortar. Yeah, no, but cinder block, it's not so much in the city, but, you know, I think there's a patch in Watertown. There's that government HUD housing, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just cinder block homes. They're all matched. They all have the equal distance. It's not like you would imagine picturing like the suburbs where everything's the same, but it's like it's similar to that, but it's all just cinder block.
I've never actually until we're having this conversation. So welcome to Jerk Practice Podcast. I'm Cinder Block Case.
I'm Windowless H.
There you go. Like, but the actual purpose of a cinder block, because you just see them, propping up like a trailer home.
Sure.
But you're like, what is the function of this thing? Like for me in my head, it's sort of like the, you know, the fucking old the watchmaker thing. Like, did God create the cinder? Like, if you find a cinder block on a beach,
right,
it proves there's the creator.
Sure.
Because they're just there. Like, it's just you see them everywhere. I never thought, like, oh, there actually is a function other than you throw them a couple times and then get on back on your bike and ride away.
You lift one, you cut the palm of your hand. I think the function of a cinder block, if I put my old engineer hat on, it has enough structure of a block, but less weight. So that's why you have the slice in the middle.
Sure.
So it gives that support, but it's hollow, so it's not so heavy.
When you're building your HUD homes with child labor, they can heft them easy. It's a cinder block.
Yes, exactly.
A ton. Hey, kids at Abandoned Lot, get over here. You want to work for a quarter?
Yeah, that's why they call him a cinder block, because they fired all the adult workers. You're cindered.
That's what it's like, those viral videos, like it's the same video and it always pops up and I'm always like, oh, and I always watch like 30 to 45 seconds of it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those, like, my nieces watched for a while, it's like two dudes in the middle of nowhere who like build homes out of like mud and things around them, but sure. It's like time lapse, so it's super fast.
Yeah,
so they're like do, 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 and then they make a pool and do all this, so it's super cool. So it's very in that vein, yeah, of like watch someone make something that you would never make very quickly. And it's they make a house out of beer bottles.
Oh, sure.
So they that's just like, yeah, lay the stuff and stack it, and then they do the floor and like parse it out. I was like, oh, it's just fascinating. That's you're cool, like, oh, cool. Yeah. I have a house made out of you know, discarded beer bottles. It seems like they just wash up on the beach from the beer barges. Apparently,
just like... in Poland. I was gonna say 20 years ago, but not even like 30 years ago. Before this, like, found material craze of the 2024s happened. Actually, you know, in the last 10 years, where people are like,
yeah,
you don't have to blow your budget on cinder blocks. You just make your own bricks out of orange juice canisters, you know?
Oh, sure. Of course. I've seen that. Yeah. Where they use it, they put the cement in it and then rip it.
Which is crazy. It's awesome. But there was a guy, this was early adopter, who lived in Arizona, and he was on like Ripley's Believe It or Not, because at that time this was as kooky as it gets, and he built his home out of Coke cans, just compiling Coke cans forever. And he had this amazing house in Arizona out of Coke cans, and he didn't have to use air conditioning because the reflection of the cans, like, no heat, no sun got in. And but of course he's on Ripley's.
His neighbor's house is 1,000 degrees because it's deflecting the sun.
Yeah, but Dean Cain's like, let's go to this nut's house, you know? But like, now you just go, oh yeah. I saw a guy in like Herzegovina built a home out of just old, like, he found tree stumps. Not the tree, but where people stumped him. And he was like, so you guys left all this extra stump. Tree. So he just started
Hardest part to get out. That's why they left it.
And he built this amazing home out of stumps and mud.
Stump bits?
Stump bits. Yeah, but it was absolutely aesthetically gorgeous, and it's functional.
Get Dean Cain on the horn. Tell him we're voting for Trump. He'll come over.
Yeah, he is.
And get him to fucking our fucking Watertown old t-shirt igloo.
Right, exactly.
Just out of thrift store igloo. It's just a stack of old clothes.
You could do that. Stack of old clothes.
A little mud.
And glue. Just stiff clothes? Sure. It absorbs the rain.
Modern Hobbit.
You're just like, oh, the mold collection.
When's lunch?
Yes.
You live under a pile of dirty laundry, dude. But I made it out of mud and roots.
It was free. You don't own this lot. Let's skedaddle. There's a lot in New York. Speaking of your cinder.
Who would have thought a tent?
You know who finally got cindered? And I think this is the trifecta. We can finally close it on our third round. Red Lobster has finally, across the board, filed for bankruptcy. It's official. It's official. They're done.
Stick a tiny fork in her.
Mm-hmm.
She's done.
Just sign that contract in butter.
with a lobster that's just rattling on the end of the pen.
I love seeing the like the fat Midwestern lobster mobsters at the end, like,
oh, lobster mobster, come on,
twisting up those lobster bibs, dipping them in butter and putting them in the roof as they're about to light it, having an argument about who's taking out the babes later. Oh, man.
Not petting a cat. He's petting just like a small, greasy dog.
Right.
Midwestern dog.
Oh, lobster mobsters. But there's an article.
The Midwestern lobster mobster. Come on.
He's responsible. I mean, in ingenuity, right? Because they had to get lobsters to the Midwest somehow. Broke some necks. Steal that truck.
Oh,
going from San Fran to L.A.
Got to get those ocean bugs to Watertown somehow.
That's right.
God forbid we just not eat the bugs that are there. They're not fancy bugs.
The crawdads. I remember going down to...
Crawdaddies!
Big Sioux. No, Crazy Hills. Whatever the ponds were. Their ponds had a name down there. I don't remember what it was, but they're filled with crawdads and mud hoppers and everything. I just remember seeing them.
Because lickety splitters.
As a young poor, just being like, it looks like a lobster.
I can get daddy's attention if I bring a bag of crawdaddies.
But instead, I got the strap because I lost my shoes in the mud.
Leland in a perfectly pressed white suit. Where are your shoes, boy? Daddy wanted crawdaddies for dinner.
I remember when we were in. Where were we? We were in not Las Vegas. Where's the Vegas of the South? New Orleans.
We'll get there. We'll get there. We'll take a while. We're going to go around, but we'll get there. Vegas of the South.
I took Meg there for her 30th birthday, and it was a very Bacchus affair. But we found like one place, because it's not a thing anymore. It's only a thing if you watch old 50s movies. We're like, I was like, do you sell crawfish by the tableful? Because I want to suck some heads. And they're like, what? I was like, you suck the heads, right?
It's down the street. Yeah. Ask for Gino. He got you covered.
But, yeah, so they just...
They call him the crawdaddy. You got it. You're fine. All the heads you need. He's got it.
But they made it look like, you know, Emeril made it look like those heads were so full of meat. Yeah. There's nothing in them. Salty brine.
Weird... Yeah, umami juice.
Yeah.
You're like, that tastes like a nervous system.
And it's all, and it's all that fight to get all the tiny little bit of meat out of the bodies.
Right, you want the sweaty, it's sweaty from the heat, but you're sweaty from the eating. You want that whole, like, dumping on the table.
Yeah. Next time I go,
it's not.
I'm never going to step foot in New Orleans again without a white suit, and I'm not changing it. White suit, sweat. I want the sweat that collects under the chest, which is the real sweat. If you don't sweat, under the nipple.
You're right under the between the diaphragm and the man boobs.
Yeah,
you need that bar of condensation.
That's white suit sweat there, for sure.
Dabbing.
Oh heavens, these heads are so full.
Suck so many heads at lunch. I woke up a powerful
heat. Old Hansi white suit, sucking heads. Two martini Hans, sucking heads. And that's a thing down there. Because there was a thing in Greenpoint. Why would it be in Greenpoint? But I remember they were like, we're the lobster mobster. You know, one of those themes where it's like everything's lobster and you go in. Yeah. And it's a Bloody Mary that just has an entire lobster tail on it.
Just packed full.
Like, this is so fucking stupid. But there's got to be just, instead of ice
drink
cubes.
Drink this to get a buzz.
Right. Instead of
not
ice,
like.
Instead of ice cubes, just some frozen crawdaddy shrimp. Heads. Put them in there.
You know it.
That's got to be a thing. If not.
Gross.
Missing out.
Well, sign us up here. Johnson and Meir showing up. You want the lobster mobster crawdaddies?
There was so in that article I sent you, and I'll if I think of it to post it. But they talk about them going bankrupt, but they have the best snippets in there because it's the employees, the waiters, talking about what it is to be a waiter at an all-you-can-eat shrimp Red Lobster. And it's so good. First of all, you grit your teeth as anyone who's been in the food service industry because they're like, mm-hmm. yeah, Red Lobster's not my dream job, but at least every entree averages about $35. So I would get to walk with about $200 in tips. And then they were like, they added
and
all
they
you
have
can
the
eat.
Corporate system where the tip is like, even
oh,
if
yeah.
you don't tip,
yep.
like there's a gratuity at least
there's
included in the tip.
I think they had always stuck at 15%. But then they introduce all you can eat shrimp at a hard $19.99. So instantly your checks got cut in half. And not only that, did your checks guarantee get cut in half? Everybody,
$4,
not just cut in half,
four fucking dollars.
Cut in three-fourths because everybody instantly switched to order it. Because they talked to, then in my next favorite snippet is they talked to a guy who was on the other side of the tracks who ordered the all-you-can-eat
shrimp. How deep was his white suit?
Yes, dabbing his temples with shrimp skins. And he's just
I couldn't do another scampi, but I must. I just must.
He talked to a guy.
I'm going to pay you $19.99. I need another oily shrimp.
He had no shame about talking about, he's like, I not. Would close my eyes for 15 minutes and then come back.
Sleep. Oh, God. Come like on. It's a fucking Subway and you're hungover on your way to your job you hate. You're like, I just need... Give me 10 minutes, body.
Like,
give me 10. I'll give you 10 minutes if you give me the rest of the day.
Food doesn't work like...
You can't.
What's an example? Like, you can't eat... And then they had to fight people who were like, no, I want to take my shrimp to go. They're like, no, you can't do that.
Oh, I love that
move. And
then
they go in and with six people and they're like, one all-you-can-eat shrimp, please. You know you
to
can't
go.
Share that.
It's a fucking hose then.
But food doesn't work. Like, you can't eat. Maybe you can come up with an analogy. You can't eat all the shrimp possible in 6 hours because you are not going to be hungry 3 days from now. That's not how food works. You know
no,
what I mean?
You can't. Like, you're not a grizzly bear.
Right.
Yes. You don't get to, like, oh, I need to eat my coconut shrimp. I need 2/3 coconut. 1/3 scampi.
Right.
And then one lobsterita. And that's perfect. And then I'll sleep for 6 months. No, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work like that for humans, right?
It's not a video game. You can't like... My belly is 98% full. I won't have to fill my belly again until... 5 days from now.
It'd be great if it were. I want like one of those diabetes patches that just gives me nutrition.
Just
waste too much time thinking about food. I never have good food in the house, so it's too much time eating
you
bad
You want, like,
food.
A nice, like...
Like, oh, more
vitamin
banana
slurry.
No,
I was also reading in that same conversation about Red Lobster, like, them going down is all, like, obviously, all-you-can-eat shrimp.
The real
not
estate.
The best move
yeah.
for your people.
Yep.
Your staff, the fucking... The chain of like delivery, like you just like that's a lot of shrimp. It's got to come from fucking somewhere. But also, they, I guess, got like bought by one of those like economic, like hitmen, like companies that just like venture capitalists went, we want Red Lobster. And they're like, okay, cool. So they dropped a bunch of money and bought it. And then what they did was they fucking sold the land. That all the Red Lobsters in America were on. So you have a fucking building there already that's been there for years. You've been going to all-you-can-eat shrimp for fucking decades. This company sold the land that these buildings were sitting on.
Sure.
Made money. And then that company charged Red Lobster.
Yeah.
They just juiced the rent.
That's got to be some kind of illegal, no?
And
no,
because
they
going,
own
like,
Red Lobster,
they're...
so they're charging themselves somehow cyclically. That obviously it wasn't good for business, but that just sounds illegal. It's
oh,
not.
No,
it's not.
It's totally loophole-y. Like they got they get money for selling the land, and then the money from the rent, and then now they'll get the money from the foreclosure, like the bankruptcy.
Right. Oh, they'll be fine. Yeah.
So it's like total short
term. They want
like, shorting. But we won't have an American institution
it's
anymore.
It's gone.
We'll have to eat actual lobsters from the ocean.
I wonder if that big lobster that Twirly's in Times Square is going to be up for auction. Love to have that lobster.
What celebrity's house could that be in? Please, give me a...
What celebrity would be really into... Probably like Ashton Kutcher or something.
Oh, yeah, problematic. You would, just to get a little nice press.
Is it because of the letter he sent for the child molester? Or no, the... Danny McBride, right? Is that why?
No, not Danny
McBride.
Danny Masterson.
Oh yeah, Danny Masterson. Danny McBride. They're very similar names. Is that what it is? Is that why he got in trouble, right? Or is he? Did he do something new?
I think he's got some problematic shit in his closet.
Yeah, they tend to. Oh, speaking of problematic and problematic, but I was like, this. I can picture this. I'm not speaking ill of the dead. I'm speaking ill of a dead man's move. Okay. So rest
which is
in
fine.
Peace.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Morgan Spurlock, director of
shit,
famed
yes,
documentaries. Primary, like one of them, I would say after Michael Moore, the most famous documentarian in America.
Of that,
or of
right?
That
oh, easily
era.
That. Sure. Era, which now like Netflix has supplanted, but it was that era of
oh for sure
the super fast like documentary as like entertainment but also information, which
right.
now is innocuous because we have shit like BuzzFeed and all this stuff. Like we don't realize like at a for a moment documentaries were either shit you and I love
right.
that are 18 hours long and dry
yeah.
as a fucking Civil War biscuit.
And tends to be something that was in black and white that's now in color.
Yeah. Just talking to someone who you're like, are you, how long have you been dead based on
right.
this talking head?
Yes, exactly. Talking to a pile of cinder blocks.
To the idea of like a documentary being entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not just like, oh, it's about the fucking massacre in Cambodia.
Right, exactly.
And like... thalidomide babies, like all just fucking sad dour shit. It's like, no, we can, it can be fun and poppy and
it's
cool.
Like Warholian pop culture documentary.
Yeah.
Social commentary. But so Morgan Spurlock passed away, and this was what was interesting, because I can only picture him like when he got the news and he went home to his wife. I just picture his be it a jerk practice sketch or something. It's almost like pour a beer in it, Mixy. You know, like
right.
just like a last request. Like he went home to his wife, who had, apparently they'd been having problems. He's like, "Honey, sit down. I've been diagnosed with terminal cancer. I want a divorce." So his last move
what?
On this planet was to go through a very embittered, embattled divorce to ensure that his ex-wife didn't get now ex-wife, because like the paper got signed like hours before. So
speaking
just,
of that Red Lobster pen,
yeah.
like sweaty bedside signature.
Yep, just but he
damn,
got through,
dude,
made it through.
Like, you're about to like shuffle off the mortal coil
yep.
into the great unknown.
Yep.
You're about to find out all the meaning of the fucking universe.
Mm-hmm.
And all you got left in your gas tank is like, but I fucking hate this bitch. Like, who
yeah.
gives a fuck?
Yeah. yeah.
Let her get the $150 check a month for Super Size Me. Who gives a fuck?
yeah. Well, she's not going to get it. Obviously, that's where he wanted to go. That's how he wanted to go down.
That's insane. I didn't know that. I just read that. I was like, that's fucking.
Yeah,
like,
oh,
I was like, how
was
quickly are we going to draw parallels to, like. To like him eating all that crap, like oh yeah, which is also a conversation
sure,
to
sure.
be had.
I just read an article about a guy. He's looking intently at a hamburger and it says, "This burger has been sitting out since this McDonald's hamburger has been sitting out since 1995 and it hasn't changed."
Woo!
It's a long burger.
You think that stuff would like keep you around for a little longer?
Sure. Yeah. Right. Preserve you. Did we ever talk about the? Sorry, just because we're on McDonald's, did we ever talk about the famed McDonald's potato that makes its French fry? Did you ever hear about this?
Oh yeah, the like Ray Kroc like found a specific potato from a specific region in Idaho.
Yes, there's more
and, like,
to
changed,
it. Yes, go ahead.
Like, potatoes in the world.
Yes. So, you know when you get that McDonald's pack of fries and you go, ooh, I always get a nice long one, right?
Longy.
So, yes, Ray Kroc found these potatoes, but also because McDonald's got bigger and bigger and they had to supply, and they discovered that, like, people are more apt to come back because they like those long fries. You know, they have McDonald's down to this weird socio-scientific factors, right?
Like, well, they talk about
we
the
don't
smells.
Give a long
like
fry. Yes, exactly.
Manufacture smells.
Yes, they
like, it's not even the
proprietary
food.
Hamburger smells. So these potatoes have since been engineered to be be abnormally long, like not
hello
environment, like long.
Share
right?
the wealth.
They
so
long.
On.
But in order to keep these long potatoes alive, or in order for these potatoes to be so long, they end up with these bizarre brown spotting. It's not like doesn't make them taste different. It doesn't make them bad for you yet. But they don't have the look that McDonald's wants. You can't have spotty French fries. Okay. So they figured out a way to get rid of those spots. And it is this wild, wild pesticide that they put on these long potatoes. It is so toxic that farmers will have them sprayed and they will leave their property for, I forget what it is, 72 hours. Like, they won't be around their potato fields for 72 hours. They finish growing their potatoes. Then these potatoes go into football-size, stadium-size warehouses, and it's called off-gassing. So they dump these potatoes in this warehouse, and then they have to let them sit for like a week because they have to let all those chemicals off-gas from the potatoes. Otherwise, it will make you sick. And that is your McDonald's French fry. Not Hans hypothesizing, not a thing. It was farmers talking about how they specifically produce their contracted potatoes for McDonald's. Look, and I'm not saying don't eat a fry. Like, it's just how it's where our food comes from. Obviously, that can't be good for you, but it's not too bad for you because, well, ask Morgan. But
yeah, I wish. Ask his wife, ex-wife.
He's got two. There was the one that was in the movie.
Two.
And then he left. The one that was in the movie was the vegan chef. In Super Size Me.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to make you better. And then he divorced her for the producer of Super Size Me. And then made sure the producer of Super Size Me didn't get any of that
sweet
cash.
I was picturing
the
vegan chef. So he screwed some other lady over.
Yeah, he left her as soon as he
Trail of Broken Hearts, this guy.
Yeah,
jeez.
Nothing but that documentary money, baby.
I just read, speaking of that food stuff, it was just like a Consumer Reports, and they were talking about those, like, the PFCs and the fucking microplastics, so it was just like, the top 10 of everything that's the worst, you know, like, parts per fucking million of all this stuff, and, like, the big thing was, like, there was this milk that people were like, oh, fuck, that was my milk, like my fancy milk. You're like, and so I'm going through and we're looking at it and I was like, it's most of the stuff we avoid because we try and cook our own food.
Right.
But I was like, God damn it. It's like the one treat, because when we were back in South Dakota, like we were talking with my brother and my nieces, like they've cut out, because they were talking with other parents and they're like, yeah, for kids to eat, we thought it was just, like, sweets and candy.
Yeah.
They go fucking bonkers and just, like, unreasonably crazy. And you're just like, too much sugar, that's what kids do. But they were talking, and it was, like, in particular, this red dye that's in a fucking shit, like, in fucking everything.
Red dye number 40.
So they were talking about it, and I was like, oh, that makes sense, because it was like, Harvey has, like, two treats. She likes this red velvet cake that we get from a local grocery store. After we talked about it, we were, like, anytime something good at, like, she's doing good at, like, school and stuff, and you're like, cool, cake. And we're like, it's a treat. And it's just, like, you can see it. It's like Jekyll and Hyde shit. Like, it becomes like, you just like unruly. So we're like, okay, we have to like unfortunately get rid of this thing you like because it just makes you insane.
Right, right, right.
It's this dye. It like sets you off, and it's like it's a whole thing. Like, but then I was looking at the list, and the other treat, like we do it on road trips, or if we're out, like we're gonna go to an event or something, like we'll get her Wendy's French fries and
okay
chicken nuggets.
Sure.
Of course, they're top two on the list. I was like, God damn it!
Oh, man, with the microplastics?
You're killing me! Yeah, it's a fast food. It's like they're on the top 10. I was like, motherfucker. It's hard out here for hustling. Like, you get nothing now.
It's hard out here for
you get
a
strawberries, I guess.
Right.
Go fucking nuts.
Our bowels must just be compacted. It must look like a Dasani bottle, right? Because we didn't think about any of that shit when we were eating it, and we're...
No.
As far as I know, we're fine.
But you also look at the, like, arc of it, like, I think it's probably our generation is the beginning of it. So we got less because we were, like, children in the early 80s, and it wasn't quite as widespread.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So sure. We just ate trash, like complete and total garbage.
But it wasn't.
Because we're landlocked in the middle of nowhere, like.
Yeah.
And now you're just like, what the fuck? I was like, really? The fucking. And they have it because they're like, a lot of it is like pre-processed, like sauce, like Johnsonville brats because of the plastic they used to seal it. And then that like container, that like styrofoamy container.
Sure.
So there's all this food like that, and we're like, we don't really eat that stuff. And then it was like, of course it was the French fries, and they're like, it's because of the cardboard container. And I was like, it's cardboard? Like, how is it, like, riddled?
The one thing.
Riddled with, like, just fucking plastic dust. I don't fucking know. And then you read it, and it's like, well, most humans just pass it naturally. And I was like, that's putting a lot of stress on the old human body. To, like, literally eat fucking cinder blocks and, like, just do it. Figure it out.
Right.
But also, you sent me that article, speaking of remorseless eating machines, was hanging up his fucking Spurs.
Oh, I know, right.
Good old Kobayashi, the old hot dog champ. I was reading the article and it cracked me up so hard, because I'm trying to think the line. Then cracked me up. I was like, all right, buddy, take it easy. You have to retire because another fat white guy can eat more garbage than you can.
Right.
And he was just like, I guess Kobayashi, who is a Japanese man, he no longer feels hunger, but he's like, I sadly must say, after many years, I'm retiring from my field. And I was like, you don't get to say that. It is not a field. You eat weird food for money in front of people. That is not a field. Lawyers have a field. Doctors have a field.
Oh, they have a field of...
A guy who can fart the stars and stripes does not have a field. It's not a field for you.
It's a field of shrimp
All you
tails.
Can eat.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, that hit me hard. I was like, that's what it must feel like for sports. Was it say it must feel like what it's like for sports people, because they don't really follow sports. And I was like, I knew that guy when he was a rookie. I've been following him his whole career.
That's what I was going to say. Like,
so you had to see him go.
He's like Muhammad Ali, like that last fight where you're just like, ooh, or not. And mm-hmm. it's every athlete that just has a hard time hanging him up. Like Kobayashi should have hung him up a decade ago. Because he just could not compete. Yeah. Joey Chestnut is just a monster.
Cannot be stopped.
Yeah. He's a... Who did...
Because Joey Chestnut even has less to do than Kobayashi. Right. Like, I've watched enough documentaries where it's like, oh, you seem like a relatively well-adjusted human. You have interests outside eating yourself sick or practicing eating.
Right.
Until you get sick. Like... I was like, you guys just eat until you're like, I'm about to throw up. Good. I'm good. So that means I can eat three laundry bags full of lettuce before I get sick. Perfect. That's great. That's fucking 100 pounds of lettuce I can eat before I vomit. Gotta stretch my stomach, dude.
Do they? Is there?
But like, he was like, oh, I like stuff. I like play music. You know, like,
right.
Like, fuck, man.
Yeah, and you don't see. But Kobe, it's just a different culture, though. A different field, a different look at the field, because Kobayashi is very much more celebritized than Joey Chestnut. Other than with us nerds. Like over there he's as like, celebrated as like a Derek Jeter. He just is. It's just because that's the culture, like it's a bizarre is not fair for me to say at all. It's just different.
No, but here, it's,
not even different.
They're in the not sense like what's like you see clips of all those insane and you know, you have to take it with a grain of salt, obviously, because not all of Japanese television is like
yes.
Guy who holds poop in for the longest and stands over a white sheet and they keep feeding you laxatives and the winner is the guy who shits last.
Which they like, have it right.
It's a show.
They have it right. That's a show worth like, watching.
That's what you want. If that's what you want, then take it.
Well, here's
it.
It's not all of their television. They focus all their responsible brain energy, which is why I'm so dumb, because I put brain energy towards anything else. They take all their responsible brain energy and put it towards solving these problems, and let's make earthquake proof buildings, and let's fix this problem. And they're like, I don't have any other brain energy to write this creative long narrative. Let's just feed that guy peanut shells and let's microphone his teeth to see the decibels where he grits them when he takes a shit.
Then we'll give him an MRI and watch him process. And then when he shits it out, we'll put it in a peanut butter jar and we'll try and see if someone can tell the difference.
Exactly. And that didn't take a lot. How long did that take us to come up with? 10 seconds. Now we can go solve world peace.
But I think you're exactly on the right track. It's because TV is fucking not serious.
Yes, there it is. Yes.
Like, why treat it like you're curing cancer? You're not. It's a fucking television show.
There you go.
So Breaking Bad is here. Sopranos is here. Diarrhea Butt, the show, is over here. They're right. The same show.
It's the same.
I know people put work over here, and then people put work over here.
Yeah.
But it's the medium.
It's the same hour of time spent. The only difference is Sopranos takes hours out of your day later on because you think about it and talk about it. You don't have a conversation.
It distracts you because you feel like you did something.
Yes,
but all exactly. You did was watch a challenging television show.
Sure.
Then all you do is talk about it.
Right.
These guys are watching Diarrhea Butt from their downtime because, like you said, they're building earthquake-proof fucking buildings and they're fucking making microchips and fucking caught like. It's so serious over here. I need absolutely the opposite over here.
I'm watching.
So it's inverted. Like, I spend my day working at Red Lobster, and I come home, and I'm like, challenging television, please.
Where will they go from here? I'm watching an amazing Diarrhea Butt show right now. I forget where we were going. Oh, Kobayashi. He's a celebrity. But he's hanging up the lobster bib.
He's done eating gasoline and scorpions for everyone's entertainment.
Whenever I think of him, I go back. You remember Max Klinger, played by the great, what was his name? He was from MASH.
What's his name?
His name was Max
Klinger. Yeah, because he's always on
Hollywood Squares. But he was played by a guy who was always on Hollywood Squares.
Jamie Farr.
Everybody just follow. Now everybody's going, oh yeah, Jamie Farr. Yeah, right. They're going, what is wrong with you? There was a great episode of MASH, my favorite, because Jamie Farr was always trying to get out of the army. So he would dress up like a woman. Klinger would dress up like a woman, and that's so weird. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, Klinger, we know you're straight. But there was one great episode.
Too many pearls, Klinger.
Where Klinger, which is a great name as I'm saying it out loud. I wish I was in the writing room. Like, let's call him Klinger because he clings to the army. They cling him there. He just said, all right, you're going to finally send me home because I'm going to eat this tank one bolt at a time.
Yeah.
So he just started eating. fucking piece of machinery. I just will never forget it. I love it. Because he'd classically, like, hobo put the bib on and get his knife and fork and
get the knife and fork and he got it. Yep,
take a fucking bite, swallow this bolt. And then that was their interstitial for that episode. They'd cut back to Klinger with, like, a stomach ache, and the tank would be, or the Jeep, I guess, would be slowly.
That's a big bite out of it, the cartoon.
Yeah.
Half moon bite.
I watched that show. That's one of those shows that I watched a lot because it was on for whatever inescapable reason after I got home from school when I was in, like, third grade. So I was like, MASH is on. Mom, I can't talk. MASH is on.
Mom, television. MASH. Doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
Give me diarrhea butt. Vietnam diarrhea butt. Got it. Doesn't matter what it is. I'll watch it.
But the show I'm watching now is amazing because it has like 10 seasons, 20 episodes a season. I just discovered it. And so whatever else is happening in the television streaming movie landscape is gone away. It doesn't matter because all I do is click on the next episode of this at night and boom. So I don't even have to think about what's going on. And it's on HBO Max and it's called Evil Lives Here. And it is so good and just absolutely riveting. It's a documentary, as you can probably tell. So what the setup is a person walks in onto camera and they sit down and you see the clapper. And this they slide a picture over to them. And this person picks up the picture. And Meg and I not bet on it, but we're saying like this episode's gonna have this. So like for example in this one, Meg, you think this person's gonna cry in the first 30 seconds? Because these people have been so devastated by one person in their life, Evil Lives Here, that they'll pick up the picture and they'll go, I didn't know there was such a thing as true evil, but this was true evil. And it'll be their ex-husband or their stepmom or a brother or something. And they go in to tell the story.
This is your life, this but person. It's awful.
And what they put them through, and these people are so torn. It's so raw and real. And they, Casey, they have, I said, Meg, these people, if they don't have Emmy Awards for reenactors, I'm shocked. The reenactors are so good, and the people that are making this show are saying, fucker, because now Meg and I, they're like, They have one pair of comically large eyeglasses, and they move them throughout episodes, and it doesn't matter who, it'll be, there's this, one of my favorite episodes, this guy is all wearing these oversized glasses, and two episodes later, it's this little kid with the same oversized glasses, and then it's this woman, and then we're like, those are the earrings from such and such episode ago, but this is how tortured this show is. I cannot recommend it enough. It is hard to watch. And again, other things that we go, Meg, do you think this episode, they'll say he had dead eyes? Oh, yeah, check. Do you think he'll have killed a cat? Check.
Oh.
But there was this one where this guy was so tortured by his stepmom that his stepmom tricked him into thinking that his dad had terminal cancer and that his dad wanted him to murder him. But don't tell dad that that's his plan because he doesn't want you to know his plan. So she duped this kid who was like 10 into shooting his dad in the face with a shotgun while his dad slept.
Oh my God.
Yo, this is how these are the deepest, darkest, evilest things. But this kid is so tortured, who's a man now. Here's what he says. He's trying to hold in these tears.
Yeah, he is.
And he's like crying and he's tired, trying to hold on these tears. And these guys go like, he's like, I can't do it. I don't want to cry. And they just go, why don't you want to cry? Hold on, I want to make sure my mic's good. They go, why don't you want to cry? He goes, I don't want to cry because it makes me feel better and I don't deserve to feel better. And I was just like, oh, fuck me. Holy shit. Oh,
typer butt. Meg, switch it over to the Japanese feed.
This show is so
that's what we do in this country.
Phenomenal, Lee.
We love misery.
A phenomenal, snapshot of pure. You think you know evil because you're like, well, but I read a book on John Wayne Gacy.
Right.
You don't know
evil. Psychology class.
You don't know evil. These the people that they go into depth.
we watched this. It was it's like a Sundance thing. It's a documentary. I forget the name of it off the top of my head right now, but everything about it is so Jerk Practice-ian. Mm-hmm. And I kind of vaguely remember seeing artifacts of the fallout of this story. So basically, there's a town in northern Missouri close to Iowa called Skidmore.
Sounds familiar.
Sure. Skidmore, Missouri.
Yep.
So it's just like just a total tiny ass, like 300 people, maybe 1,000 people at the time of the story. So it's like 1984, 85-ish. So all of the video is fucking beautiful.
Sure.
So it's just this little fucking rinky-dinky country town in northern Missouri. And there's this guy who just is like the town bully. But like in the way like Nelson Muntz from The Simpsons. But if he was a real adult man.
Sure.
Is like, you're like, oh yeah, I get it, bully. And you're like, no, you don't understand like small town bully. Like this guy would like walk into your house and beat you up. Like there is like, there's one story and they show him and he's like that classic sort of like prairie country old man in the bib overalls and the little mesh hat.
Yeah.
And he just looks like American Gothic. He's like, yeah, I own the store in town. I sure do. And I was working one day and my wife was tending the register and this guy, the guy's wife and his like crazy fucking Tasmanian devil children show up to the shop and they're just like fucking ripping stuff up. And you know, this woman's like, please stop, please. And she was like, I think your kid stole some penny candy. You owe me like 15 cents or right. something. Like I saw your kid eat my candy. Pay me 15 cents. And the wife is like, no, you saying we're thieves? Are you saying we're thieves? And they're like, just give me the fucking quarter, man.
Right.
Come on. There are rules.
Just teach.
So they leave.
Yeah.
And they go and tell him like, hey, the general store said our family are thieves. So the motherfucker drives to the general store.
Oh,
the fucking scarecrowy looking old man just sitting on the loading dock at the back because it's the downtown is like five buildings on one side, five buildings on the other. Just sitting there in a rocking chair. He's like, he showed up and shot me with a shotgun.
No. Yeah.
So like, because it's small town, like, so it's just like this escalating thing of events. So he shoots this guy. He pays the bail because he's got money and he gets out and everyone in town's like, this motherfucker. He's such a piece of shit. He's so mean to everyone. He's such an asshole. Always, constantly, just constantly terrorizing everyone in this town. Like, for example, they have like a little, the bar. It reminds me of Kranzberg. It look, you know, it's just one of those aluminum buildings with the fucking door and a window with yep. the AC in it.
Sure.
And they're like, that's the town bar. And they were like, after he shot this guy, and he's like, everyone in this town's fucking talking about me. So he drives to the bar, goes into the bar with a gun, and just sits.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, come on, man. Like,
we just wanted
you just got out of fucking jail. And he's like, you know, like De Niro from Cape Fear.
Right,
just,
exactly.
Like, pounding Miller Lights and like throwing it in everyone's face. So what the story ends up being is like, this town is like, we've fucking had enough of you and your fucking behavior. Yes. You son of a bitch, you. So he's at the bar with his wife and the bar's full. And he's heard they're like, everyone talking about me. I'm going to go down there and give him a piece of my mind. Like 150 people, they just fucking walk out of the bar. He's in his truck and they fucking shoot his truck. They just fire into his truck and kill him.
Oh my God.
And then the cops come and then everyone just goes, nope. Don't know what you're talking about. Don't know what you're fucking talking about. No idea what happened.
And the cops.
They're like, this truck is full of bullets. And they're like,
I don't know.
I didn't see anything. So that's like the start of the documentary about this town and like Morley Safer and 60 Minutes and like people, his kids are on Oprah. Like it's this huge story about people like vigilante justice and they just fucking killed this dude and then went, I don't know. Don't know nothing. Don't know nothing about it.
There you go. That's what
you And mean. Then it just follows like all the shit that happens in this town because then other awful shit happens. They're like, that's because you killed that guy.
Oh, but it was they got cursed.
Yeah, that's kind of where it goes. It's because his family like leaves, and they like then you know, like all this, the kid goes, meth dealer kid goes missing. And like, then there's this crazy story, like a pregnant woman has nothing to do with this guy getting murdered, but they're like, if you live in shithole, shit happens in shithole. Like this woman who is like a dog groomer was online, like selling these like purebred dogs, you know, like cockapoos or something. So a woman from Iowa follows her and is like, oh, she's pregnant. Cool. Drives to this little town and fucking cuts the baby out of her stomach.
Oh my God.
And then takes it as her own baby. And then drives back to Iowa. And then her husband's like, oh, I didn't know you were pregnant. And she was like, yeah, I was pregnant. I didn't tell you.
Heard this story. Yes. Or something. I've heard that a similar, that's wild. What was that?
No, it's a fascinating documentary, but it's just like, oh God. Oh, again, you're just wallowing in the evil and human misery of it all.
Because obviously the guy shot him with a shotgun and it just filled him with pellets, but it didn't kill him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I still feel it in my side. Like, he seemingly was down the alley, which is also like a fucking dickhead move. Shooting someone's a dickhead move.
Yeah.
One of probably the first one. But you just shot a shotgun down an alley.
Yeah.
Like, you know, shoot the guy, shoot the guy. Don't just be like, meh.
I'm listening to this book, which is basically like the gods answered what I wanted, because it's an Eric Larson book, right? The guy who did Devil in White City.
Is it the new one?
It's called
The
Demon of Unrest. And so it's Eric Larson, but it's the civil fucking war, and it's all about like Lincoln the anchor is Fort Sumter and like how that all happened. And it didn't just like, they didn't just fire on him, but basically this guy Anderson, who was in command of a different fort, was like, there was talk of secession. Lincoln got elected, and without, he was supposed to stay put because Buchanan was like, don't fucking ruffle feathers, right? Like, he just didn't want anything, and he's like, no, fuck
I'm that. Almost out of here.
Let's, like, in the middle of the night, and Buchanan was like, don't worry, we're not going to take any offensive movements down south. And Anderson was like, nope, let's go fucking occupy this badass Fort Sumter over here. We got enough supplies for a year. And so in the middle of the night, they go over there, and Charleston wakes up and is basically like, what'd they fucking do?
The Union,
you mean they moved from, they're there? They can just destroy our city at any drop of a hat, so we're totally at the whim. But anyway, so it's
like Gulf of Tonkin shit.
It's so
like premeditated. Like, let's start this shit. Like, let's start it off. It wasn't a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Oh no. But there's so many good Lincoln, like, just Lincolnisms in here, and his stories, and him riding the train and telling. He's like, I told one joke in the last town on his way to Washington. He's like, I started the joke. I hope you guys ran from the last town because I'm going to finish the joke. Lincoln, don't just tell us the punchline of the joke.
Windy Abe starts with the punchline.
He's so windy in this book, but I can't recommend it enough. It is so good. But I didn't realize, do you know what? So they had to get crafty with their ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
Because they only had so much or whatever. So they started making grape shot. You know what grape shot is for their cannons?
I've heard the term. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd always heard the term,
is it just
too.
Trash?
It's what they do is they just take a burlap sack instead of a cannonball and fill it with a bunch of metal and shards or whatever, right? So when you load this burlap sack, it goes in like a cannonball. It's compact. So at least it sits there, right? But when you fire it, it just shrapnel just fucking shoots all that shit straight out. So it's a shotgun. Okay. They make their cannon into a shotgun.
It's a trash gun.
It's a trash gun. It's so terrifying.
Well, I mean, if you put a bag of Coke cans in a cannon and shot it, like, that's horrifying.
Yeah, that's all. Anything that goes in there, as long as it's.
So that's grape shot. I've read that term, like, reading that Napoleon book, a biography. Like, you hear grape shot all the time, and I just thought maybe it was like, old simpy brand. I was like, maybe because they're the size of a grape. It's just a bunch of grape-sized bullets.
Yeah, I don't know if the idea is because grapes have seeds in them, or just, I don't know. Maybe originally they were grapes. Because I bet If you shoot a bunch of fucking grapes out of a cannon, you fucking take a grape to the temple, you're in trouble.
Fucking at Gettysburg, and you're like, what the fuck? Ouch!
Right.
Turn around! They're shooting fruit!
The fruit guns. Oh, that book is so good. I haven't finished it yet, but... Oh, but I've listened to... I've overlapped so many times, because like I said, I'm listening to it. So I fall asleep to it. And then I get to hear Lincoln's stories twice.
Again. So you're like living in the moment. You're like actually on the train with him going from
getting windier and windier and windier.
Can you fucking tighten this up? We got to give my man a couple open mics. This is not a 20-minute set. This is a 5. Come on, Abe.
The best is like they... So he had to kind of go into Washington under the dead of night because there was a... When he was elected... Oh, by the way... When they were certifying the vote for Abraham Lincoln, that Capitol was fucking raided. Like, it was surrounded by... Winfield Scott was the commanding officer or whatever. And he was like, I'm gonna fucking hang any motherfucker that walks in here. And they were like, you're a dotard! And they'd get a sneak around him because he's an old man. And they'd go in and they were trying to, like, disrupt the vote. And people were fucking in there. But the difference was, is back then, and I guess they still, it's just stupid pride. They were like, if they actually get a hold of a paper ballot, it will fuck everything up because that's all we have. Like, if they actually get the satchel, we're in trouble because we don't have any other record. And
the receipts for actually.
Right, it's the actual receipts.
We have no other.
Other way of, right.
Throw them in the Potomac, then I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Right.
I love it. Like, it's so... Like, yeah, it's going to fucking hang you over a paper ballot. But if that's all you got, it's all you got.
But people just think that it's just the same shit. Everything's cyclical. They think that what happened on January 6th is the first time. No, fucking that shit got raided.
Which is insane to think that it happens more often than we're comfortable with.
Yeah, right. And we're so, like, I didn't know that. Right, but that
either.
You would think so. In 100 years, is somebody going to be talking on their space cast? Like, did you know in 2020 they raided it too?
When they raided the moon capital. Tina, Biden, and Trump—they fit that bill. Like, if we just reskin reality right now and set it in the early 1860s,
yeah,
Biden and Trump fit the fucking bill, dude.
What,
weird coiffed, like, snake oil salesman versus a dotard. A fucking dotard, sir.
Like,
it's the same. They're the same. They could easily have run against Buchanan. Like, ooh, exciting, Buchanan.
Oh, Buchanan with his crazy eye. He could not fucking wait to get out of that office because everything started going on underneath him. What horrible debate, because you have the Lincoln-Douglas debates, right? That's when they were running for Senate, but these fascinating debates, the what they call Douglas, the little lion or whatever. Little giant.
Oh, yeah.
Little giant, yeah. Because they were just amazing orators, and we're about to get two debates from Trump and Biden, and the only way the debate could happen is they're like, you have to be able to turn their mics off, because that's how stupid they are. As long as you promise that we have the right to turn their mics off, then they can debate.
It's like a fucking sleepover
that
when
is.
Your parents are like, everyone stop, lights on, lights off,
right.
Lights on, lights
right.
off. Like, enough of this pillow fight. Also, is it listening to someone talk, because the first debate is like 2 weeks.
Is it soon?
Which is fucking insane. It's in June.
You know why they're debating, right? They made it so...
Maybe for fucking ratings, I can tell you that.
They had... if they made the debates under their own terms, and these are their terms,
they're
RFK Jr. out. So he's not allowed to join the debates. So he doesn't get any of that juice.
Well, also, like, what I was like, oh, that makes sense. I was like, June? Fucking no one's going to remember this.
Right.
Even the funniest parts no one will remember.
Sure.
Going to what you're saying about icing RFK Jr. out, it's want the debate with Biden before the convention, because A, shit's most likely going to go fucking down at that convention. a la the fucking late 60s when the last time there was a Democratic National Convention and people just protested the fucking lights out and fucking riots.
Right.
We all know Chicago. But also it ices out anyone stepping in on Biden in the party, like someone like a Gavin Newsom.
Oh, sure.
Like, so no one can fucking Lincoln fucking Biden at the convention.
Because he's already established.
Please, God, please give me some grassrootsy, folksy fucker that's like, y'all forgot how this fucking machine works. I'm going into that convention and I'm fucking coming out the fucking president because I'm fucking, I got my carpet bag full of fucking Subway Club cards. I'm greasing palms and we're going, getting out of here.
That it's happened before, that getting that backroom deal where you just interrupt the voting, where they finally get so tired. They're like, let's just go in the back.
Figure out our hotel room we can with the hookers. Vote. Please, God, I'll vote for anybody. Get me out of here.
Right.
I need a gin.
God. Oh, let's see. I got.
That is true. Like, RFK may make that cut of the money in the percent. Oh,
yeah, I think it's possible. I think it's possible. They're just poking a very reedy voiced bear.
Give me that reedy. I love taking my New England reedy.
Oh, God, Case. I had a beautiful Midwestern moment in the city recently. You'd think I'd learn better, but I don't. So there's a library, the Queens Library. I probably talked about it. It's like four blocks from my house. It would be a perfect thing to be able to take our kids to, for me to go have a workspace at. They closed it down for renovation like 6 months before we moved here, and they were supposed to open it last March, but they cut all the budgets to the it's ready to go, but they cut all the budgets to for the library. Libraries aren't open on Sundays anymore here. They cut hours in half.
Really?
They totally clipped their budgets. So they can't open this library. So now it's just people just hang out on the steps.
Sure.
Having some beers, maybe a little.
A nice cool step. Nothing beats a nice shady.
Yeah, because it's in the shade, right? And nobody's coming out of that building to say, yeah, get out of here. Nobody's
roust
in there.
You use.
They can't get rousted. Anyways, whenever I walk by, I kind of take a peek in the window. Like, is there a new sign up that they're going to finally open? And sure enough, please. I'm walking by and there's a guy hanging out on the steps, just a solo guy. And I walk by and I've walked by him and I've already passed him. But then I turn around and go, library ain't open yet.
And he's like, I know, I'm the president of the library.
No. He goes, no. And as he's saying that, I go, what am I doing? I notice he has no shoes on. He's got one long jean pant, one jean short.
How not belt is the belt he has on those pants?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a cord? Is it a bunch of shoestrings?
I just don't. I think it's just the pants aren't buttoned or anything, right? He's got a sweatshirt with
the belt is
sleeves.
Just a zipper around his waist.
And I go, library's not open yet, huh?
Oh,
he goes, library's not open. And they go, man, they haven't been open for 2 years.
Oh, God,
and
really?
Then he goes, motherfucker, who the fuck are you? You piece of shit, motherfucker, open for 2 years. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. And I still hear him shouting a block away. And I'm going like, yeah. What was I doing? Like, what in the world was I thinking?
Him from a beautiful daydream with your fucking, why is the library not open? He's like, I fucking hate libraries. I love to shave. You son of a bitch. Why you remind me about
But of course, everybody's, now I'm on display. Everybody's looking like, what do you do to this guy?
Hey, buddy, you remember when this was open? God! I don't remember anything.
Oh, but of course, as I'm walking away, like,
like, I love that you just was like,
the difference is I didn't have any fear. Like, I think when I first moved here 20 years ago, I'd have been like, oh, he's coming after me. I just went, what was I doing? Like, and then I just let that madness serenade me down the block.
Now you have calcified into, you are also a New York weirdo.
Right.
New York weirdos
Don't
are
do
like,
that.
Why
yeah,
did that person
that.
Walk up to me, tell me facts, and then leave? Like, I don't know you.
Right.
How would I know if, what the library's hours of operation are? I have no fucking clue. I don't have fucking socks on. But this guy was like, you're here. You must, do you work here, sir?
Oh, God.
Which is great. You're just like, eh, whatever. And then you leave, and he's like, I know he's probably talking about it with the rest of his, like back at the old cinder block campsite. He's like, so this motherfucker came up to me and asked me when the library's open. And he knows it's been closed for 2 years. What's he thinking?
So true.
How would I fucking know?
Oh, it's so fucking true. Yeah, and sure, like I had to fight. So do you know when somebody gets a nice piece of furniture or something delivered?
Oh,
they
yeah.
they encase it in like actual good packaging, oh. like 2x4s and shit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like a real piece. So somebody got this beautiful brass bed delivered next door, and
so is it your brass bed now? Is that what
no,
you're talking about?
No, it was the packaging. So all of a sudden, there's like all this good wood and good screws by the garbage, and I was like, I went up there like twice. And I was like, because they were the star bit screws, and I got a star bit. And I was like, oh, man. And I walked, I got the mail, and went down, went back up.
Wrap on that.
And then Meg's like, what are you about doing? I was like, Meg, you know how when nice furniture gets delivered?
She's like, oh, go to the library, please.
I was like, should I take my screwdriver up there? Because we could build a trellis or something out of all this good wood.
Your garden, yeah, it's good wood.
It was.
You'll
such
get a lot of
good
wood in New York.
I was like, Meg, that's like $100 worth of wood.
It's manna from heaven.
And I did.
You don't have a lumber yard
yeah.
in Queens unless you go to Lowe's or right. fucking Ace.
But I didn't do it. And as I'm walking away, I had to go get some cough medicine for Meg. These two brutes were carrying this heavy wood down the street. Spanish,
that was
Spanish
my
fellas.
Broody, but...
I only know Spanish fellas because as I walked by, I went, I saw that wood too. It's good wood. And they were like, okay. Like, what the fuck? I was like, why do I say things? They were so confused. So confused. Good wood. What the fuck?
Is he going to call the cops?
I saw that. It's good wood.
I spotted that wood. Good wood, fellas. Adios.
Same page.
Amigos. A good trellis wood. I don't know what trellis is in Spanish. Old trellisio.
Oh, my God. And then one more thing I did, classic New York Rube, is I was, I wasn't talking to the microphone. Let's see what that sounds like. Is I was doing some work in my car yesterday, and this couple with their baby was walking towards me on the sidewalk. So they're coming towards yeah. the car. I'm in the passenger seat. And I was like, oh, I know them because they're from my yoga class, my parent-child yoga class. And I was like, they have to see me, right? I'm in my car. They can Yeesh. See through the windshield. Oh. So I was like, well, I can't just be a guy working in his car. And so as they're passing,
Did you survive it? You didn't just come in?
Roll down the window, and I go, hey, I know you! And they were so fucking terrified. So terrified. She quick, like, did the thing that a mother does, like, a mother sure, mammal, where she protects, puts herself between me and the baby, and the husband gets, like, kind of puffs up, and I was like, hey, guys, I'm just doing some work in the car, and they were like, hey!
Also... Also, that won't put them at ease because they're like, you see us in the water. The only way that works is if you're a fucking Muppet. And you're like, hey, everybody, I know you. Oh, cool. It's old Hansi, the furry Muppet. He jumped out of a car and screamed at us. You want to learn about the letter K?
Oh, yeah. So they came over. And then they had the awkward... They're like, oh, like, ha, 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 you scared the bejesus out of us. And then I was the asshole who interrupted. They just wanted to walk to the park. And now they felt obligated, so they had a talk with the guy. They had the talk with the guy sitting alone in his passenger seat.
Of course, like, you didn't get you out been? Of the car no. and meet them eye to eye.
No. I didn't even close my computer.
Important word, guys.
Oh, and I was like,
wood ruffians.
And what did I say? I was like, I just had to get this project out quick. It's not like I'm working in my car. And they were like, like, we're New Yorkers. We work in our cars.
They weren't even thinking about it until you told them. They're like, wait, does he work from there? Oh, that's his office. Is that his home as well? Oh, now I see all the cinder blocks.
Should we report? Should we report it? Oh, man. Oh. Yeah, that all
happened. Speaking of New York, there's a great... If you need more, it's less misery than your evil, always evil.
Okay.
But it's on Netflix. It's called like Homicide New York.
Saw it. It's great. Really
so good.
Magnificent.
Come out swinging. The first episode is called Massacre at Carnegie Deli. And I'm like, done. Love it.
I feel like that happened right when we moved there. Or no, maybe it was right. It was like 2003, 2004, 2005. I forget. Yeah, that is wild. And you just love hearing New York cop stories. They're like North there. I didn't realize. Obviously,
I showed up in my gym shorts and then the chief busted me down. I was like, tell me, you could speak for 9 hours about how you got in trouble because you showed up in baseball cleats.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I didn't realize the old North Side boys and gals and the South Side boys and gals had such a fight. Like, I knew New York had precincts, but I didn't realize they broke up the city, or at least Manhattan, in half. And old Southern boys were, like,
sexy talking. South, always
and they cut to North. He's like, they're always asking us for help. Ask me how many times we've asked them for help. Never.
None. Yeah. We just, it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, that guy was just like, can you get, like, can these people be cooler? Like, it's just the structure of the show. It's produced by, like, it starts and Ash and I made a joke. We're like, and then you hear the Law and Order, dun dun.
Yes.
But the show is produced by Dick Wolf. Yep. So it is basically edited and formatted like a Law and Order show.
Right.
But it's like a cop show. It's amazing. Did you ever read the Homicide: Life on the Killing Streets by David Simon?
Mm-mm. No.
You'll love it. It's basically this. So it's David Simon before he went on to do The Wire.
Interesting.
And all this stuff. He was a reporter for the Baltimore Sun. And he spent, and that's the book was, he started as a series of articles he was going to write because he was writing with homicide detectives in Baltimore in like 1992 or something.
Sure.
Early 90s. And then he just stayed with them and wrote this book. Mm-hmm. Which is called Homicide: Life on the Killing Streets, which became a show on NBC. Like, Richard Belzer is in it.
Of course.
Like, that's an NBC show that kind of ties into some of the Law & Order SVU shows.
Gotcha.
But it's amazing. It's just this fucking tome, and it's he just is rides along with these homicide detectives in Baltimore.
Oh, wow.
And then he uses a lot of those stories for
The Wire.
The spine of what would become The Wire.
Gotcha.
And it's awesome. That's what immediately what I thought of. I was like, this reminds me of the book Homicide, because it's just him and these, and they're predominantly like 50 plus white
Grateful Dead white fans. Dudes. Grateful Dead pins. Well,
no, exactly. The Grateful Dead. That's what it reminded me of. Is they're just like, and they work in these like neighborhoods that are getting overrun by drugs, and it's like 99% black, so it's just these like old school cops doing old school investigating in this world that's quickly like leaving them behind.
Yeah, right, sure.
So it's just like old school detectives like beat the streets, and they're like, you know, it used to be easier for us because people trusted cops, and now everyone hates cops.
Sure.
But yeah, I can't recommend that enough. It's a fantastic book.
Nice. Life on the Killing Streets.
Yep.
What, I'm looking on my notes here. They haven't picked up my compost in 3 weeks, but I can't report. I went to report on, because it's so heavy. That's why I think they're not picking it up, but it's becoming like a hazard because it's compost in the heat for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so I went to 311 to report it, and I'm like, all right, good. I'm reporting it. All right, I put my address. They haven't picked it up in 3 weeks, this and that. And then I get to the last page, and they're like, we need your name, address, phone number. And I was like, I'm not fucking giving them my fucking information. I don't want the fucking Department of Sanitation yumming on my ass. Just dumping that shit out in front of my door.
Oh, you finked on me? You finked on me? No, we have the same thing. I've been doing that, like, doing the dumb dad diligence because I told you about last time with our yard and the ticks. I was like, okay, I got to knock this down, but I'm going to start bagging the lawn clippings because can't just have this willy-nilly grass everywhere. It's a similar thing. Load the yard bag. Of course, it's rainy, but I was like, I left it on the side of the street. They come every 2 weeks. They'll get it. Of course, the guy just went, eat. And because the bag was soggy on the bottom, half of it made it. Half of it was there. And he just went, meh, and left it. So I was like, fuck. So I got to do the scumbaggy thing of like, all right, kick it in the storm drain. Fuck it. Oh, no. It's only grass.
As your whole street starts flooding. Yeah, so instead of giving my name, I'm just going to do a wait. I'm going to wait out front and go, hey, whoa. You need help lifting it?
I got you.
It is so full of, it is a whirling dervish of just life now.
Oh, yeah.
Fruit flies.
That's when I saw the heat, like it had, like the beginning of a sci-fi movie, the amount of cool, weird bugs. I was like, I've never seen a bug that looks like this before.
Yeah.
I think it sprang from the primordial wet grass sack yard clippings.
And it's our fault because everybody like that lives in the building, we're like, we should get a compost bin because the city's giving them out because they're going to start composting. They're like, I don't want to do that. And we're like, no, that's what you're supposed to, that's what we should do. Let's order one.
Get a
and they're like, fine, we'll do it, but you are going to be the only ones using it. So it literally stays down.
Compost
here.
General.
And now they're like, I told you. Now we all got fucking bugs flying all over the goddamn place. You got me. You're right.
You guys were right. I know it. You're right.
You're right. I don't want to cry because it makes me feel better. And I don't want to feel better.
Because we have the dog, we always had like a partial fence up, which we got. It's like a white picket fence.
Sure.
Classic. We bought it on Amazon. So you can understand the tactile nature of this very, very utilitarian thing. And we just set it up in our yard because when we moved, you know, Harvey was 3 and it was like a demarcation to keep her in our yard and out of our like parking area. So we'd had it up. It's more decoration. It's just a little separation. Mm-hmm. And Harvey respected it for the most point. So we got the dog. And it was like, the dog, obviously, because it's a puppy, doesn't, it's like, fuck this. You can just fucking walk. This is an offense.
Right.
Idiot. This is an offense. This is artifice.
This is an offense.
Yes. And so I was like, okay. And I was like, well, I have the Amazon order. I'm going to order it because they have a gate. I was like, they got to have a gate.
So right.
She literally just pushed it in the grass. And I was like, you got to have a fucking gate. Got to have a fucking gate.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked it up and I was like, sure enough, Ash got it. They got a gate. I measured the sidewalk to make sure because my first thought was like, I'm going to pay $50 for this fucking gate. It's going to be too small for our fucking sidewalk.
Of course.
Because it's just a sidewalk the owners put in. It's not regulation. Like, I don't know the, mm-hmm. you know, the Roman, the two mules on the road rule.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I got it. So we get it delivered and I'm like, all right, perfect, cool. Get it, got all the pieces out, put it together. And of course there are screws, but it's just this
good screw
fucking plastic monstrosity that doesn't have like a screw. Like typically on that kind of like fast furniture, they're like, okay, screw goes in little tiny hole, and there's like a dimple.
Yes.
Or like just, a light drill.
Yep. It just kind of goes till it stops. Goes till it stops. Yep. You crack the shit out of this thing, huh?
No dimple, no light screw hole. It's just
put it here.
Treat it like it's a piece of wood. So yeah. I'm like, okay. So I'm just like using a hammer on a screw to get it to go in, and then
push it through, right?
Muscling and swearing. And like, because it's plastic, like you can't get the screw to get a tooth. You can't get the teeth in. So it's constantly going, the screw keeps going, and it's just like screwdriver in the finger, screwdriver in the hand, screwdriver in the finger, screwdriver in the hand.
Yeah.
God, this motherfucking gate. Done. So it was like this whole afternoon affair of like swearing, like bandages, like it's just like awful. And you know, like finally get it. And Ash's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not fucking okay. I can't get it to work. I can't get these little tiny hinges and these little tiny screws. So it's like, we finally get it up, and it's like, excellent. Dad did it. Got it. Set it up. And of course, jaunty. just
scrapes right on the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah. It's just the fucking cheapest fucking thing. It's like a Chevy Chase thing. I came home the other day, and the hinges fell off. Like, I had it bungee corded. Ash's like, really? And I was like, I took the time to fucking do it. Bungee cord shut. It's just fucking awful. And I stepped over it, and the hinges broke, and it just fell. And I was like, what's the point? What was the fucking point?
Right. Wait till somebody throws out some good wood.
Exactly. I need to make an actual wood fence. Like, it's going to look like the fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre house, but it's going to be odd pieces of wood.
It's going to be sturdy.
But keep those prowlers out.
At least sturdy enough. It's going to be heavy when it falls over on someone's dog.
No, and it's like one of those things. It's called like zippity fence. And I was like, never buy anything that's a limerick. Close to a song or a limerick, you know. Fucking Man from Nantucket Plumbers.
Well, what do you say? Should we close the fence on this one?
Let's do it.
Well,
we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Don't buy a fence on Amazon.
Yeah, or just put. You should. How long? When did you build that fence?
Well, the fence.
Or when did you put the gate? When did you put the gate? When did you put the gate?
You're doing a real workout on the term "build." Thank you.
Oh, we do what we can. When did you put up the gate?
Less
than 90 days ago.
Oh no, it's longer than that now.
Oh,
I wish I could have returned her.
Because I have no return shame whatsoever. I ordered these things to go into a binder. They're like little pockets, right? You put them in a three-ring binder. It's a little pocket, like an envelope. You Velcro it open, and it's supposed to fit a standard piece of paper. But it's just cheap and strange enough that it's about a half an inch short for a standard piece of 8.5 by 11.
It's so I was like, perfectly square paper.
So it just doesn't fit. And I was like, well, I guess you can put little notes and stuff in it, but I was like, no, fuck it. I'm going to return it. But I didn't have it didn't come in a bag or anything like that. So I just like,
oh, your love notes return in it. There?
So I just put, So I just took some packaging tape and pack, because it was like six of them, put old tape around it, and just took her to Staples and set her down. I have no return fucking shame. They're going to sell me shit. They're going to get that shit, right back. Right. I tried the one they got me. Is I ordered some car air fresheners. They were supposed to smell like lavender, and they smelled terrible. So I tried to return them, and they were like, no. They're like, if you want to try and return these, you have to talk to Airwick directly. So I was like,
I hate lavender, as it turns out.
They got me. $2.50.
Oh, you had to go to Airwick Central?
They sent me directly to Airwick.
Procter & Gamble?
Yeah. They sent me to go to... And I was close. I was close. I'm getting a little more... You know, I didn't take the good wood. So I'm starting to, like, open up
I could see you rolling up to Procter & Gamble HQ like it was that abandoned library. Just like... So I spent $7.99 on these lavender gels, and it sure doesn't
You tell me if that's lavender. You tell me if that's lavender.
That's more of a chamomile pine, maybe.
I said it on my note. I said it smells like soap.
Like, use our soap in this, and you heat it up, and it smells.
Just get a lavender. Just buy some lavender.
Like, who's this guy think he is on the Spice Road? It's not fucking Baghdad, like 1210. This lavender is not
a fresh enough.
Syria. It's not Syrian lavender. Where's my frankincense?
That's where I'm at. I will not accept anything less than what they... If they want to be the biggest fucking company in the world and be full of shit, somebody's got to call them on it. Somebody's got to call them on it. I'm their taxes. They don't pay taxes. I'm their taxes.
The tax man.
I'm the tax man. Yes, exactly. You will fucking eat the cost of this garbage.
Which is so funny, we just rewatched, because Ash had never seen it, which is like fitting for this conversation, that movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas.
Exactly, that's it. On Amazon's Falling Down.
Everybody go rent that for $1.99. It's more prescient now than it ever was.
Oh, like, it's so good.
Insane.
Yeah, I'll have to rewatch it too. I can picture it. I'm sure it fits. You know how much a fucking pack of two pack, I saw this yesterday when I went to CVS. And kind of got into it with a woman because I had a $3 coupon for a pain reliever, and I had to buy Meg some cough medicine. And she's like, "Oh no, this is only for pain reliever." I was like, "That's what this is.
Relieves cough pain. It has
acetaminophen in it. That's pain." She's like, "It just doesn't take it, sir." And then I went, "Do you see how much you're selling a 2-pack of Twinkies for?" Which Meg wasn't shocked by this. I was shocked. How much do you think a 2-pack of Twinkies cost? Just a pack of Twinkies that you'd see on an end cap.
$3.99 or some shit?
Yeah, it's fucking $3. That, to me, is an affront. For Twinkies?
It's just poison! I gotta pay $3 for fucking literally eating a Mountain Dew bottle?
And I was
with
like,
cream inside of it?
I was like, Meg, when I... And then I was like, oh yeah, that was 20 years ago. Because I was thinking when we lived in Sunset Park, that would be like a treat I'd get. I'd go get my sandwich made. I'd go get two big beers. Some type of chip, probably a plantain chip.
Why not?
And then I need a ho-ho or a Drake's or something.
Dog.
And that shit was 50 cents. So I guess it was 20 years ago, but that seems like a...
You're going name uptick. Brand. You're not getting the good Latin. You got to get the good Latin one with the weird jellies in it.
Oh,
those are always going to be like a dollar.
Bimbos.
Bimbos. That's why I couldn't think of the name of it.
That strange jelly and that... waxy chocolate. Yeah, get a Bimbo. I think Bimbos are... I tune in next week to find out the price of a Bimbo. I'll do some research. I'll order them, eat one, and return them.
No, not waxy enough, the chocolate.
What do you call this, jelly?
Oh, I thought it was gelée. I was expecting something different. I'm sorry.
You call this raspberry? Tastes like strawberry. Return it. All right.
Okay. Well, we love you all, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You can't return that shit.
The human forever plastics will always be here.
Yeah, we're made of plastic, and so are you.
Take that, Earwick.
Yeah, right.
Jerk practice, jerk practice. Sketch boys love to reminisce.
Yeah. Ah!